Pennsylvania,
Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania,
keystone of democracy.
I love your valleys and hills, I always will. You're the one great state that I am always for.
Again, we present another in the series of programs, Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy. Historical dramatizations showing the part our own state of Pennsylvania plays in the life and success of these 48 United States and in the development of American ideals. This series is prepared and produced by the Pennsylvania Historical Commission in cooperation with the State Council of Defense in order to better acquaint you with the glorious history of our great Commonwealth, Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy.
Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania. And no matter where I roam, you will always be home, sweet home to me, Pennsylvania, my home.
The scene, Wake Island.
Range 4-7, sector right.
Range 4-7, sector right.
Range 4-7, sector right.
Commence firing.
Contact with the Hawaiian Islands, sir.
Good. What did they say?
We shall send you, if we find it possible, to get through.
Tell them to
send us more Japs!
Down through the history of our country, the United States Marines have been the first to land, the first to fight, and the last to quit. Ever since the days of George Washington, the Leathernecks have responded in times of war and peace to that urgent cry of, call out the Marines. They fought in all parts of the world, wherever the United States needed them. They made Uncle Sam's trouble their business, and they never failed to come through with flying colors. It was in Pennsylvania, at another time of great crisis, that the Marine Corps was born. In the fall of 1775, at a meeting of the Continental Congress in Philadelphia.
Gentlemen, I maintain that our shipping lanes must be kept open. Now, this war will not be won by waiting here while the enemy fleet sails into our harbors. If we are ever to be victorious, we must seek the enemy out.
Mr. Speaker.
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Virginia.
I disagree with Mr. Adams. A Marine Corps and Navy are not necessary. Harbor blockades already have been undertaken at Philadelphia, and the operation of individual state fleets will offer sufficient protection against any attempt of invasion by sea.
I agree with this point of view. Besides, it would be an extravagant waste of manpower and money, both of which are desperately needed by General Washington and his army.
Gentlemen, I anticipated some such difficulties and have taken the liberty to ask General Washington to attend this meeting and present his views on the subject. Members of the Continental Congress, I present the Commander-in-Chief of our armed forces, General George Washington.
Members of the Second Continental Congress, it is true that our armies lack money and manpower for this conflict. But it is also true that all of our major cities are on the seacoast. Therefore, it is of vital importance that these ports be well protected. Once the British successfully blockade our ports and prevent ships from leaving or entering, our cause will be lost. But with an American fleet, we could engage the enemy on the high seas. Gentlemen, for the safety and welfare of our cause, I implore you to pass this bill.
One question, General Washington. Just where will Congress raise money to provide for a navy as well as an auxiliary force of Marines? Well, this will require an expenditure that will take all and more than we have at our disposal.
You've raised an important question. In reply, I already have assurances from the Committee of Safety of Pennsylvania that they will help financially in matters of manpower, materials, and trained leadership from their own Navy and Marine Corps. You will agree with me, gentlemen, when I say that this contribution by Pennsylvania is a step towards the defeat of our enemy.
From the very beginning, Pennsylvania showed itself prepared and willing to sacrifice for the benefit of all. A resolution was passed calling for the enlistment of men of dependable and religious nature, combined with proper robustness of body, to form 2 battalions of Marines to act as an auxiliary force to the Continental Navy. And the first recruiting ever done for the Marines had its starting point in the streets of Philadelphia. Crowds collected quickly and listened attentively as Robert Mullen, the first Marine recruiting officer, announced...
Men, Congress says we need a Marine Corps to lick the tar out in the enemy. Well, we're going to have one. Captain Samuel Nicholas, the first commandant of the Corps and your own highly respected fellow citizen, is here to tell you more about it. Captain Nicholas.
What Bob Mullen says is true. We're going to lick the tar out of the enemy, and we need your help. We need good, solid fighting men to be soldiers of the sea. I know there's nary a one of you who wouldn't give his life to protect his home. And I know that every man here is willing to join up with the Marines and stop the enemy from getting anywhere near our shore. All of you fighting men ready to get in with the Marines and fight, shout aye!
Aye!
And let's be marching on our way over to Bob Mullen's Sun Tavern, and the new recruits will be sworn in. Come on, men!
From the birth of the Marine Corps, many of its commanders and fighters were Pennsylvanians. And from the start, they displayed the aggressive spirit which was to characterize the Corps throughout its history. Shortly after, at a meeting of Commodore Hopkins, commander of the Colonial Fleet, Captain Nicholas, senior Marine officer, and other ranking naval and Marine officials, a trading ship captain reported,
"The British are figuring on some sort of raid. A huge ammunition dump has been built on the island of New Providence in the Bahamas. They already have about 600 barrels of gunpowder, nearly 100 cannon, and a score of shot and shell.
If we could capture these munitions, it would be a godsend to our forces."
"How? They're no doubt heavily guarded."
"Well, all we heard was that it's defended by only a small detachment of troops."
"Well, then there's no reason why we shouldn't attempt to take the place. Do you agree, gentlemen?"
Aye.
A squadron of 8 vessels was quietly assembled at Philadelphia, and towards late January, the little fleet dropped down the Delaware for its dash to the southward. Once at sea, a course was set for the Bahamas. On board the flagship Alfred, Commodore Hopkins and Captain Nicholas determined the method of attack.
"But if we bring our whole fleet within sight of the fort, by the time we land, they'll be well prepared for us."
"Therefore, we'll have to keep out of their sight."
"That's true enough, but how will we land all our men in one body without causing any suspicion?"
"In sloops, sir. We'll obtain some native fishing boats and make the preliminary assault in these. Later, you can close in and support us with your guns."
"Well, the plan seems sound enough, Captain Nicholas. We can only attempt it and leave the rest to God."
On arriving in the vicinity of the scene of action, 2 small native fishing sloops were procured. Into these vessels, a squadron of about 220 Marines were loaded, together with an improvised company of 50 sailors.
All ready, Captain Eglin?
Aye, aye, sir!
Then cast off! God be with you.
Remember your instructions, men. Once on land, every man will wait for the signal. And we'll storm!
What was that?
They discovered us. We're too close to land to turn back. We'll have to keep to our course. All right, men. The water's not deep. Every man overboard. Wade to the shore. Now keep your guns above your head. Keep under cover, men. Return their fire. We're being supported by our vessels. Reynolds, take 100 men over to the south woods. Draw their fire. I'll lead the rest of the men to the right of the garrison. Wait for my signal and then storm the walls. Any men? No, signal Reynolds to call them.
Aye, sir.
Open attack to the garrison.
You're waving the white flag, sir.
Yes, I see. Cease firing, men. Cease firing. Signal the vessels to hold their fire!
They talked with action. Thus came off the first landing operation in the history of the United States Marines. Here began a tradition of victorious achievement that became part of America's building. For across the battlefields of American history, the conquests of the United States Marines have always laid the cornerstones for the foundations of national victory. They fought at
Trenton, Tripoli, Chapultepec, Algiers, Morocco, and Sumatra,
China, Haiti, and Santo Domingo.
At sea with John Paul Jones, at New Orleans with Andrew Jackson, and in Bella Woods with Pershing.
And all through those victorious years, thousands of Pennsylvanians played valiant and distinguished roles in the vivid, inspiring drama of the United States Marines.
Captain Nicholas, the first commandant of the Marine Corps.
Major Generals Smedley D. Butler and Clayton B. Fogle.
Brigadier General John Marston and Colonel Anthony Drexel Biddle. All Pennsylvanians.
Today, as in the past, when danger threatens our freedom and national security, we Americans can feel secure in the knowledge that we can...
Tell it to the Marines.
We're to fight for rights and freedom and to keep our honor free.
From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, from their birth down through to the present day, the Marines have upheld their victorious tradition in every battle and in every part of the world.
Today, Pennsylvania is again contributing money, manpower, materials, and trained leaders to the struggle for national victory. Still upheld is the same aggressive spirit that has always made Pennsylvania keystone of democracy.
Pennsylvania, you're the land that I adore. I love your valleys and hills. I always will. You're the one great state that I have always for.
You have just listened to another in the series of broadcasts, Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy. Prepared and produced by the Pennsylvania Historical Commission in cooperation with the State Council of Defense. If you are an able-bodied man and want to serve your country, serve with the most versatile of all American fighting men, the United States Marines. Listen again next week at this same time, on this same station, for another program of Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy.
Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, and no matter where I roam, you will always be home soon.